Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
High School Sports Show with your host Larry Bluestein on 560 WQAM.
And that is us back on a Tuesday evening, and we welcome you all till 9 o'clock this evening. Thanking Joe Zagacki and DBJ for ushering us in with their hurricane hotline. And as I said, up until 9 o'clock, we are with you. We have a really decent guest list. This is not the week that we begin the playoffs for most of you tuning in. Next week is. But what this week is the final week of the regular season. And a lot of teams, you know, as the rankings and as the point system came out, certainly had an opportunity to get into a playoff competition over the last couple weeks, because they played district games, very important district games, and they also had an opportunity to gain some valuable points, and that's what happened. Tonight we have, as I said, we go everywhere. Head coach of Miramar on a 6-game winning streak, A.J. Scott, will join us about 8:45 or so. A.J. Scott has an opportunity to once again play against St. Thomas Aquinas. Last year at St. Thomas, Miramar put it to him pretty good. And I know that St. Thomas remembers that. But different year, different time. We'll talk to Coach Scott about that at 8:45. At 8:30, we'll check in with Charles Fishbein from Elite Scouting Services. We haven't heard from Charles as the season comes to an end. Some of the kids that he's watching, he had an opportunity to see a ton of South Florida kids. We run into him. He'll talk about some of the prospects as well. And, you know, I mean, and this is the time of year now that college coaches, because remember, we have those two signing periods, December 19th, which I think we're going to do something, somehow something, maybe not on a live show, but maybe podcast. You know, we're thinking about that as well. That's on December 19th. That's the first of the two. But we'll talk to Charles about 8:30. At 8:20, one of the big surprises, you look for a big surprise in South Florida. What about Hialeah? T-Bred's 8-1 going into the final game on Friday, 9-1 if they win. They've earned a top, I think they're a 3 seed, which is not terrible. I mean, you know, coming from where they were, usually it's last couple years, North Miami or North Miami Beach, and then American was in there as well. We'll talk to Riley Aguila, who's the quarterback, junior quarterback. He's been really good. I mean, he's been good for a couple of years. But we opened up our show this evening. I had an opportunity, to do a lot of stuff with the Dolphins and where they're at. And the other night was at South Plantation High School, where the Dolphins, Twan Russell was on hand, and they were selected as the winner joint community program initiative, and it's called Light Like the Pros, and they received a free state-of-the-art Ephesus LED sports lighting and control system. It was valued over $100,000. I had an opportunity to see that in person. It's big time. I mean, it's NFL quality, no doubt, and some of the things that it does, but the Miami Dolphins have been, you know, just awesome. When we talk about their, you know, everything that they do in the community, especially with the youth, and they were a big part of this, and certainly somebody who has just always been there for us, and, you know, from the beginning, is Jason Jenkins. And this is somebody who has kind of like, you know, taking the bull by the horns. He does everything. I mean, you know, especially when it's related to the youth football and some of the things they've done, like the Audible, the, you know, the Friday football, the Fridays with Joe Rose and Kim Bocamper. I mean, they host events all over the place, a lot of seminars. And he's kind enough to join us this evening, and we wish him a happy birthday as well. Jason, thanks so much for taking the time. I know it's I didn't realize until I saw that it was your birthday that it was your birthday. But thanks so much for joining us. And again, thanks so much for what you guys do. You know, you've been the face over the years, and especially you over the last couple of years, showing up to everything and doing everything with your family. And welcome aboard.
No, thank you. And what a great way to cap off even my birthday. But no, thanks for having me, and thanks for, you know, being such a supporter and a, you know, advocate of what we're trying to do with South Florida.
Well, I've always said that next to Zach Thomas and Jakeem Grant and Matt the Buck, you're the Texas Tech guy that that everybody knows the most. But out of those names, nobody else got to speak at a commencement like you did. And I what an honor that was, and I told you that. Getting back to what the Dolphins have done, you know, with this lighting system, first of all, and I got to see it firsthand. I made it up there with Twan, and wow. That's all. I mean, I was, you know, normally, you know, when you have a game, it's kind of lopsided, you know, you're just hanging out. And then when they gave this little halftime light show, I was blown away. I mean, you're talking that's a major league quality light system.
No, you know, it is. And, you know, having such a great partner, you know, with Eaton and having the state of the art, you know, Epson's LED sports lighting, you know, like you mentioned, I mean, we really want to support high school football, but also youth sports overall. I mean, they're not just playing football on the field, you know, at that stadium. And to get that lighting, you know, with Eaton and with Ephesus, over $100,000, as you mentioned, we're really trying to continue to grow the game, continue to provide opportunities for these student athletes to play under their lights. And it was, you know, it was a great night and, you know, great experience for sure.
You know, you take a look at some of the things also that you do during the course of, you know, during the course of a year, and we point out the Audible, the Football Fridays that we've had the pleasure of being part of a couple times this year. What a great visibility and what a great partnership with the high schools and the youth throughout South Florida.
I mean, and as you know, South Florida is the place to be in terms of youth football, high school football, you know, athletics, you know, in general. You know, and it started with our owner, Stephen Ross, in terms of making a commitment to youth football in South Florida. Our vice chairman, Tom Garfinkel, has always talked about what the game has meant to him and his growth. And not only do you have to be a, you know, professional football player, you can be a CEO and vice chairman like Tom. And Tom has always talked about what high school football meant to him and his development, you know, as a business person. And then Adam Gase, what he's done and the ability to bring these youth teams, high school teams in. We've brought in over 50 over the course of the last 2 years to come watch these practices. And that's really where the Football Fridays came from. A lot of these players would go to our players and say, hey, you know, come see us play. And our players say, oh, yeah, where are you going to be? You know, and you know, working with you, working with Rashawn Hamilton, Troy Drayton, and hey, Katwan Russell, kind of going to, like, the top games throughout South Florida. It's really been a, you know, great experience. And our players are involved in the coin tosses. They're out there, you know, watching the band, you know, being out there. So that visibility is great, and as a professional football player, like, what would you rather do than, you know, watch football and be around the best football in the country? So we've been excited about that. We thank you and QAM for taking part in these things. You've been a great host on the show as well, too. So it's just been an amazing experience, you know, with this program, and it's exceeded our wildest expectations.
Jason Jenkins joining us, Miami Dolphins, has a lot of titles, does a lot of things, and you're one of the guys that you get the family involved, and your wife, your kids come hang out. I mean, it just shows everybody the type of person you are and how they get involved and they're immersed in things. Talk about that, because I think that's important, too, because I think that's one of the things that the Dolphins over the years have probably personified as much as anything, and that's being part of family.
No question. I mean, I know on a personal level, you know, the work ethic, the overcoming adversity, the toughness working as a team. You know, as a high school, you know, football player, was out at Texas Tech as well, too. I grew up in the sports and entertainment background with my father, who's a former professional football player for the Houston Oilers and a coach, and my mother was an educator. And seeing them, their work ethic, seeing what they've put into the game, you know, it really kind of carried me to what I am. And also, I wanted to pass it along to my children and you know, all my wife as well, too. I mean, they're super excited about, you know, being around and being involved. And it's a culture that's, you know, been built throughout the years, you know, with the Miami Dolphins. I mean, football truly is family. It's not a tagline. And, you know, we try to personify that every opportunity we can.
Jason, also talk the coaches of the week, the players of the week, the team moms, the youth football. Those are great things, too, because, you know, and you take pictures and they get out and people see them, families see them, friends see them, you know, teammates. And talk about that, too, because I think that's a really good thing for these guys. And, you know, and the college and the high school coaches love it.
Absolutely. I mean, we always want to promote and recognize, you know, the best in, you know, South Florida. And as you know, it's just a football hotbed in terms of what's available. But not only, you know, recognizing the players, but recognizing going to the youth level, you know, having the moms. I mean, they're so important to the development of these young athletes, both, you know, in the classroom, but also on the field as well. The team of the week, and it's a great experience for the team of the week. They come out, run out the tunnel with the team, you know, on the field during national anthem. And you know, you and I, you know, we kind of been around and are very fortunate and blessed to be in this position. But sometimes, you know, you know, we're on the field a lot. We see that. But it seems like the look on these kids' faces, look on these moms' faces, look on these coaches' faces, these are like real once-in-a-lifetime experiences that, you know, that people rarely have. And to be able to provide these opportunities to coaches, parents, teams of the week, et cetera, is great. And even so, kind of unearthed like earlier this year, you know, Frank Gore said, you know, I was player of the week, you know, one day as well, too. So, you know, yeah, he sent his photo, and I'm telling you, he looks the exact same.
Doesn't he? I know. And I used to cover him. Wow. I used to cover he was phenomenal and a great guy. You know, I mean, he's just, and I see him at, he came in the early part of the year to some of his son's games and had a chance to see him, and I'm thinking, whoa, this guy could still play. I mean, you know, it's amazing. And I know you and everybody at the Dolphins, and I've always said it, and I said it back in the day, maybe 15 years ago when they started getting involved with a lot of the things, that there's no NFL organization like it when it comes to community service and, you know, the outreach and going to the islands and going to north and south and everywhere in between. It's great, and everybody always is going to remember that, and it's a lifetime thing, Jason, and they love it. And I appreciate you taking time on your birthday, and thank you again for letting us know and filling in, and what you did, what you were a part of at South Plantation, because I'll tell you, that was phenomenal.
No, thank you. Thank you for having us, and I look forward to listening to the rest of the show.
Good stuff. Jason Jenkins, Miami Dolphins Senior Vice President of Communications and Community Affairs. The Centene South Florida High School Sports Show with Larry Bluestein, cared for by University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com.
Radio.com.
I've been low key, hated on by most these. No cheese, no deals, and no G's, no wheels, and no keys.
Back with you on a South Florida High School Sports.com radio show. This is a Tuesday night edition. Larry Bluestein, Tito Benash, as we take you until 9 o'clock. Thank you so much to Jason Jenkins from the Miami Dolphins, the Senior Vice President of Communications and Community Affairs, and a Texas Tech grad, and on his birthday, and he spent some time with us this evening, and we thank him so much for doing so. As we said, last regular season week, and this is usually the week where a lot of these teams that didn't make the playoffs get their last chance and then maybe shoot into other sports or whatever they do. But for one program, what a surprise, surprise. I guess maybe not to them, but Hialeah has been as impressive as you can get this year. 8-1, T-Breads. I know there's a lot of fans out there listening. Our own Vic Bermudez. And Big O, highly faithful, certainly watching the T-Breads, and they are really good. They'll be a 3 seed when the playoffs start next week. One of the catalysts, a junior quarterback who is in there for the first year, Riley Aguila. He joins us this evening. Riley, thanks so much for taking the time, and congratulations so far.
Thank you for having me, sir.
Anytime. Anytime. You know, we had you last year as a young guy. You've matured quite a bit, changed schools, got bigger, got wiser, matured a lot. Talk about the experience and what it's like to be 8-1.
I mean, it's always good to win, Larry. I've always been a winner all my life. I've always been taught who put my team in a situation to win and just get better as a unit and pass each by week, winning and getting better.
But Riley, this is a young team. I mean, this is a team that a lot of people didn't expect to do this until next year. You know, with a lot of the kids that were brought in from some of the youth leagues in the 22 class as freshmen and the 21 class as sophomore, this was something that Coach Sanchez maybe said next year would happen. But, wow, things fell into place. After losing to Gulf Coast and Naples, you guys rebounded and got better and better and better. Talk about that and what it feels like to have kind of earned your way into this playoff.
I mean, we did have kind of a rush start, and it was good for us to lose that one game because it gave us a taste of losing. It's far from victory, and it hurts. So as a team, we got together, and we grinded together, played hard together. We fought for each other. The next week, the weeks after that, we showed everybody in Florida who we are.
Yep.
And you can't judge a book by its cover. Yeah, we have a lot of young kids on our team, but they're tough. And his team went out there on the field thinking they were going to beat us, and we showed up and played football. Yeah.
And won a district title, which is also something really good. I mean, something to hold, you know, hold close to you for forever. I mean, no one could ever take away that you're district champions. What did that feel like, beating a North Miami team that may probably came in as a favorite at the beginning of the year? Yeah, but they obviously, defensively, they were good but lost a lot of offense. What did that feel like, you know, winning that district title last week and knowing that, you know, now you have the respect?
Winning a district title, I mean, it hasn't been done in 15 years for Hialeah, so I'm glad me and my team came together to win that victory against North Miami. And us as a team, we made history. I mean, yep. There's nothing else we can say about that.
No doubt. Riley Aguila joining us, junior quarterback Hialeah. Not only that, like you said, you've been around this game pretty much all your young life. Talk about how you've come to this point. I mean, here you are now. A lot of the colleges are starting to look at you. I mean, last year, you lead of all of South Florida in passing. So you've done that. You've been there, done that before, and you've handled it well. What about this? Now, coming in the next week, it's like you said, it's the first playoff game in 15 years for the school. A lot of people are going to be anxious. A lot of people are going to be on hand. I know you're looking forward to that. What's that going to be like for you next week?
Next week, we need to come together as a team, lift, get our minds right for the week coming up. And right now, we're not worrying about playoffs. We're worrying about the week in front of us. After we beat them, then yeah, we'll focus on the playoff week coming up, and then we'll get busy.
Kind of got to take this all in.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. And also, you have an opportunity, like I said, to get the student body behind you. How have the, you know, the administration, how the teachers, how the students kind of, they have to be really receptive with this because, I mean, they have, like you said, they haven't won in a while. How's it been around school?
It's been great. Teachers and students are starting to come out, starting to support the football team. There's been a lot of spirit this year. They're doing a lot for us, pep rallies after pep rallies, raising money for our football team, building up our locker room. It's been a lot. It's been great.
So obviously now college coaches are taking a look. I mean, what are you looking at in a school? I know that you love football and you love the classroom. You did real well last year as well. Talk about what you're looking for in a college.
The best opportunity for me, Larry. I mean, obviously, I want to go D1, and I feel like anywhere I can go, I can win.
Yeah.
And that's just who I am. Nobody can take that from me. I'm going to win. I'm going to work my ass off harder than anybody else and beat out anybody else who's there in front of me. It doesn't matter who you are, where you came from. I feel like I'm the best, and you have to prove to me that I'm not.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Riley, I appreciate you taking the time. Best of luck next week. Obviously, you have your closing game this week and finish 9-1. That's got to be one of the best records that this program has had in years and years and years. And I know that it's been a lot of hard work. Coach Sanchez and the coaching staff put a lot into it, as well as the players. Riley, thanks so much for stopping in. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you, Larry. Have a good day.
Good stuff. Riley Aguila from Hialeah High School and junior quarterback, has done a tremendous job. Hey, T-Breads, look at you. I mean, you know, I mean, I have to tweet Vic. I have to tweet old Vic Bermudez and tell him that his I think he follows it, though. But certainly he does. Now we change gears again and go back into somebody who has seen basically all the teams, the players. He does this every single day. He stops by with loads of information for us. Charles Fishbein from Elite Scouting Services, and he is with us this evening. Charles, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Larry. How you doing?
I'm not doing bad. I'm not doing bad at all. I know that this is you. I talk to you a lot. This is kind of the culmination of the of a season that has been kind of long. I know that you shoot as many as 3-4 games, so you get a chance to see 3-4 games a week. Talk about that and what you've been able to see this year. You know the Carroll Cities and the Centrals are always going to give you a show, but you have an opportunity to see a lot of the other teams in the earlier games and at other fields that nobody has the opportunity to check out. Talk about that.
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, you were just talking about one of the teams that is kind of a surprise this year in Hialeah, you know, going 9-1, and they're, you know, kind of new to the scene this year.
Yeah.
After having some down years, but they've always had players, you know, all the way back when they had Corey Legit to Ajomo and those guys, and they've done a great job this year, but they're one of the better teams as far as improved I've seen this year, so...
I mean, so are you surprised, because you saw Riley last year at Somerset and you knew what he was capable of as an offensive threat, but defensively, the Hialeah lost a lot of kids and they had to rebuild. So it kind of is a surprise to you to see this team where it's at now?
No, definitely. You know, you thought there'd be improvement this year, but 9-1's, you know, that's a major jump up from where they were last year. And having the quarterback, you know, it makes a big difference to have somebody that could actually threaten a defense and open up the offense. They haven't had that the last couple of years.
Charles, when you take a look at with the playoffs opening next week, some of the teams from South Florida that have legit shots. I know in 8A we talked about Columbus, we talked about Deerfield. Who else in 8A could maybe crack through and surprise some people?
The one thing that we've discussed is 8A is wide open. You know, a few years ago you had Flanagan, who's now not even a playoff team. You know, you had Columbus go to state championship. You've had South Dade win a state championship. You've had Southridge. So I still think it's wide open. You know, we had a chance last week to watch a pretty good team. I believe Plantation's 8A, or maybe
yes.
They're not.
Yeah,
but,
they're 8A.
You know, that's a team that, you know, if they could play like they did the other night, I know they only, you know, they played South Plantation, but, you know, they showed a lot, the ability to beat you with both the run and pass. And, you know, all it takes is a couple upsets. You get on a run. It happened last year with Western. Western had beaten Miramar. The next thing you know, or Deerfield, and then Miramar lost to Park Vista, and that whole bracket in 8A opened up.
Yeah, and we were at the game where they beat Palm Beach Central, too.
Yeah, and that could happen this year. You got just so many teams that I don't think it's like 6A where you've got two teams that are really, really good, and one of the two's coming out of that area, either Central or Carroll City.
I don't think
it's like that in 8A. These teams, I don't think there's that much of a gap between the top teams. You could have a South Dade, you could have Southridge, you could have Deerfield. You know, Deerfield was my preseason team. You know, talent-wise, you can't argue Deerfield's one of the most talented teams in AA. But all it takes is one bad game, and it happened to them last year. And, you know, you get some rain, and then all of a sudden it becomes an equalizer, and it could happen again this year in 8A. It's wide open.
No, I agree with you. I agree. 7A, St. Thomas seems like this is going to be the year to get back. The hurdle probably would be Venice, but I don't. It's nowhere near it was last year. So they get back, but this year up north, they get an opponent, whether it's Lakeland or Lake City Columbia. Those teams are playing well.
Well, Lakeland seems to be close to what they were when they played St. Thomas last in the state championship, and you know they've got a lot of Division I football players, and that's the one thing. Is they had the top end talent to always compete with St. Thomas, and the thing with the schools from Polk County, you know, Lakeland, you've seen it with Lake Gibson. These are tough teams. They are physical. They come at you. I don't know what is in the water up there, but a lot of those teams, you've seen how many teams over the years have won state championships from just Polk County. But Lakeland has a very good football team, and you know they are not afraid of St. Thomas.
No.
I think a lot of that when you're playing St. Thomas, it's not the physical stuff as much as it's mentally. Do you believe you could compete with them? And I think Lakeland does.
Yeah, no, I agree. And Lake City Columbia has shown this year playing really challenging schedule, a lot of tough teams on the schedule. They would have to meet Lakeland before they would get to St. Thomas. You look at 6A, we just talked about it. It's a two-team race in the South, Carroll City Central and really nobody else. It's just hard to believe that that is not a 1-9 that they're going to be facing each other again, you know, in week three of the playoffs. Both of them are amazing, a lot of talent. I'm sure you agree.
They're nationally rated teams.
Yeah.
They're not just local rated. They're both elite teams, and they've shown it. They're not afraid to go anywhere and play anybody, but both teams have pretty much dominated. I mean, what Carroll City's done, I don't know what, they had five or six, maybe seven games so far this year where I don't know if the other team even scored a point. So defensively, they're a matchup nightmare for anybody they play, and they're just a very tough physical team. And that's just how Carroll City's always been.
Yeah.
And this year's no different.
Charles Fishbein joining us, Elite Scouting Services. Also, now you go into 5A, and the team that you said at the beginning of the year, this could be their year, Cardinal Gibbons. Rocky start with Central and going up to play a pretty good Milton team in Georgia, but since then they've been lights out. They won the district. And also American Heritage, can't forget about them, still very talented. But you also have Rockledge in the mix this year, and Rockledge right now, if it holds true, would be the home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Rockledge earlier this year. They played, I believe, Southridge up in Palm Beach, or South Dade. They played South Dade, actually. Very good running game. You know, the one thing is that when you get to the playoffs, if you can run the ball and play good defense, you have a shot to make a run. And they look like one of those teams that can make a run all the way to state championship. I saw it earlier this year. I was impressed with what they've done. Coach Younger has done a good job up there, and it would not shock me to see them in Orlando come November or December.
What about Orlando Jones? They're in that mix as well. They probably would grab off the two seed. Are they in the caliber of a Heritage or a Gibbons, or are they just maybe beneficiary of playing an easier schedule to get a top seed?
I definitely think it's easier schedule, but you look at what Gibbons did. They did come out of the gate. They played Central. They had them down 14-0. That team, though, I think last year, we've talked about how many times you've seen teams come close, and then they get that bitter taste in their mouth last year. They had a really good chance to knock off Heritage. And they have the quarterback. They have the team they've got Bogle back. And this is a team that is made for the playoffs, and Coach DeBuck's done a very good job. So I just think the experience of being there and coming close is going to push them over the top this year.
4A, top two teams at the top, plus you add Coco. University School, Booker T, Coco are the three teams that I would say. I don't think Glade Central's there yet, although Jesse's doing a really good job. Talk about 4A.
Yeah, you know, Coach Luke has done a very good job. You know, these kids have all been there. You know, you look at McIntosh. He's basically a four-year starter, started as a freshman over at University School. A lot of these guys have played together, and he's done a phenomenal job putting this team together. They've stuck together. You think about some of the guys they have lost, if you have added them back into the mix, they'd probably be a little further ahead. But they have a great shot. They're another team. They went up to Coco last year. I think they lost, they were like one game away from going to state. So.
Sure.
They'll have an opportunity again. Coco's always tough. It doesn't matter how many players they lose. They're one of those schools you talk about it like they're down here. They just keep pumping out talent year in and year out. And the kids that they get are very similar to what they have in prior years.
And Ryan Schneider's there now, so he knows a little bit of the landscape. What about Booker T? I mean, they're still you know, like they a buddy of mine said, and even if you chop my head in half, the tail's still moving.
Yeah, Booker T's loaded, and the thing is, they're loaded with younger kids. They already have, with Ja'Cory Brooks, they have one of the top, underclass wide receivers probably in the country on the team. And then you look at some of the other guys they have a defensive end that's committed to University of Miami. So
Donnell Harris,
You can never count Booker T out. They're always going to have talent. The one thing with Booker T, the years that they've won the state championship, they've had really good running games. That's the one thing that they seem to be lacking this year compared to those years that they did, whether they had Mark Walton or they had
They had some pretty good ones. 3A with Joe Zagacki, I was telling him that I think that the Chaminade's getting their fingers size tonight for rings, because I don't see anybody in 3A, north, south, east, or west, coming close to beating them.
Yeah, the only team that really, the only team that really had a shot
Oxbridge.
Was Oxbridge, and they took that team away, basically, and the program's not around anymore, but that's who they play in the state finals. Really, who do they play down here? They play so many big-time games that by the time they get to the playoffs, it's almost like a preseason game.
Exactly.
I mean, it's so easy for them to play these other teams because they're so well-prepared going into the playoffs.
Yeah, and you and I've seen what Chaminade could do to you at home. I mean, we saw Daytona Mainland get throttled with a virtual all-star team. Also, 2A, a team that figures to that has done real well, Charles, is Miami Christian. They're undefeated. They'll be the number one seed, have home field advantage all the way. They may be the team to go.
Yeah, it's not surprising. You look at what they've done. Last year, I had the chance to watch them against the team is very talented. Last year you saw the talent on the field. It's just they needed a year to grow as a program, and the coach there has done a very good job.
Good stuff. All right, man. I appreciate you, as always. Expert opinions, Elite Scouting Services, Charles Fishbein. We'll catch up to you really soon.
No problem. Have a great evening.
You too. Charles Fishbein, getting it done. AJ Scott will be joining us in just a few minutes from Miramar. The Centene South Florida High School Sports Show with Larry Bluestein, cared for by University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. Back with you on a South Florida High School Sports.com radio show, Tuesday evening edition. Larry Bluestein, Tito Benash. Thanks so much to Riley Aguila, quarterback at Hialeah, and for Charles Fishbein from Elite Scouting Services for joining us in our last segment. Now we turn our attention back to football. Big doings in Miramar. There's teams on a six-game winning streak. Saw them in their last loss and played very well against Plantation, made some mistakes, but the team has grown up as they head into Friday's regular season finale. They are the district champions of that. It looks are there. I guess they finished second. Plantation. You see, they don't. As we were saying before, they don't have the three-way tiebreakers. They use the points. So I guess Plantation had a few more points, but nevertheless, they are in the playoffs. It appears, and certainly had a tremendous second half of the season. Head coach A.J. Scott joining us. Coach, thanks so much for joining. I had forgotten that you didn't win the district. That was last year. But but nevertheless, you're in the playoffs. But you would much rather results have a whole different outcome this year than last, obviously. But what a job you guys have done. This is a team that is young in a lot of ways. A lot of kids who are making decisions are doing so for the first time. And things have been pretty good in the second half.
Yes, a whole different team from last year. Last year we was led by a lot of seniors, and this year I have a young team, and we took a lot of bumps in the beginning, you know, and hopefully we can keep it up, you know, and keep the winning streak going. That's the goal.
But you know what? You take a look at the first three games of the season, and on any year, Northwestern, American Heritage, and Plantation would have been three tough games for anybody to play. But yet you did it. As you said, you took some lumps. You hung in there. Your defense, the dark side, still the dark side. And your offense has started to come together behind a young quarterback that we had on our show last week, who has said Quan Smith, who has done an awesome job. But this is about an entire team. This isn't about individuals. This isn't about any individual stars and five stars and stuff. This Miramar Patriot team seems, Coach, to me, a bunch of guys who are overachievers and really busting their butts.
Yes, I agree. We don't have that, you know, that big name like we did last year when Dominique Watt and Terrence Warren. I think as a whole, you know, everybody has to contribute for us to win the game. You know, everybody has to do their job. All 11 guys on the field have to win their battle every play in order to win and play, and that's what I preach, you know. Do your job. Like Belichick, I stole it from him. Do your job, and if you do your job, for the most part, you should come out victorious.
You know, and also, your district has had a lot of say-so in the state playoffs over the last decade with yourself, with Flanagan, with Cypress Bay, obviously going to state as well. I mean, that's got to be a good feeling to know that just within the structure of your district alone, now with Western, elevating the game, Plantation has always been competitive. That's got to be as tough and as challenging a district schedule as you could find.
Yes. And even back in the day, you know, I've been at Miramar since 2008, you know, right, going against Guandola when he had Cypress Bay going and Flanagan with Bush and just playing against some great coaches over the years. And you learn from them, you know, and battling St. Thomas, you know, every year. And when you play in a lot of big games, you learn how to practice like your opponent. You learn how to compete like your opponent. You learn how to beat your opponent.
Yeah, no doubt. A.J. Scott joining us, head coach at Miramar. And your coaching staff, that's a coaching staff that's really worked extremely hard. A lot of guys stepping up to do things for this team and a lot of the young players. Talk about them, because I think that's been important. You guys that you can go into battle with and trust every week.
Yes. In the beginning, it was rough, and I had a new OC this year, T.J. Johnson. And it took a minute for the kids to buy in. You know, anytime you have a successful prior season and when change, just like a job, you know, any job, when change happens, sometimes people resist, you know, and you got to get everybody to buy in, the kids and the coaches. You know, on the defensive side of the ball, you know, we all, you know, have each other back. And that's the main thing. We knew the whole time we was going to get it together.
Yeah.
You know, but when you have a new batch of kids and they're young, they don't understand. And sometimes, unfortunately, you know, they go out there and make that same mistake that a kid did last year. And they got to learn the hard way. But finally, they get the point. You know, and that's the main thing. So, you know, like I said, hopefully we get all that's past us, all those errors we made in those first 3 weeks. You know, hopefully it's past us, and we got St. Thomas this Friday.
Yeah, no doubt. And not only that, I mean, you have, like I said, you've been there for a decade. You've seen a lot of talent pass through there, a lot of the kids making their mark. You mentioned Horn, who had a big debut with USF this year. And, I mean, we always knew he had just blinding speed. But here was a kid that could play the game. I mean, he loved to play football. I mean, obviously he was scary quick, but it must do you a lot of good to watch kids like him and other players who are competing that you've had an opportunity to coach and be a part of.
Yes, every Saturday morning when I get up, you know, it's a great feeling. And I turn on the TV and channel 4, channel 7, channel 10, and I'm seeing ex-Miramar players. You know, it makes me feel great that I played somewhat of a part in all their lives, you know, and I love the kids. You know, we don't just coach football just for football. You coach to help kids grow and become young men. And I take pride in that. You know, I feel football saved my life as a young man. And like I said, I don't coach football just for football.
Sure.
I coach because, you know, I feel God put me here for a reason, and not just to win football games, to help guide these young men.
You know, Coach, as we as we're speaking with AJ Scott, head coach at Miramar, the one game last year that may have been the greatest, but at the same time probably got your head so big that you know a lot of those kids didn't see, was that big win at St. Thomas. And I had said that was the most dominating performance that anybody's had against St. Thomas in almost 35 years. I mean, you guys did it on offense. You forced six turnovers. You returned kicks. You did everything possible. Everybody played about as good as you could play. You face a team this year, a different St. Thomas team. I mean, the principles are the same. Their defense is still strong. They're still searching for an identity against really good teams on offense. What is the dark side? How does the dark side match up this year as opposed to last year? Yeah, you don't have the Jesse Smiths, and you don't have some of the other kids that made the huge plays in some of the games, but you have talent.
Yes, we still have talent. You know, I think last year, like I said, I had a lot of seniors, and they totally understood what we were trying to do as a defense. I think now with this young team, I think they understand it. Just when you play St. Thomas, it's really about how physical you can be.
Sure.
And I told the kids, this game gonna come down. Can you stand? We call it. You know, we always say, can you stand in the paint? You know, can you take that blow, and then hit back? That's the main thing with St. Thomas. If you can't handle them up front, I don't care what type of scheme you come up with. Scheme doesn't matter.
Sure.
If you can't match up up front, I don't care. And it starts there at the line of scrimmage. If we can't win a line of scrimmage, we're not gonna win the game. Straight up.
And also, be the team like last year that was forcing the turnovers and not the team that's making them. Because once you start making them against a team like St. Thomas, as I saw, you know, when I watched Carroll City or Central or those teams, and their opponent starts dropping the ball at their own nine, before you know it, it's 30-0. I mean, because you're giving them an added opportunity. I'm sure that that's probably a key this week, a ball control, execution,
yes,
and, you know, maintaining the ball. And that's, to me, against a St. Thomas or against anybody. I mean, even against Western last week, I'm sure having possession of that ball and having somebody do something positive with it is essential. Talk about that as a game plan coming in.
Yes, on offense, you have to be responsible with the ball. You know, take care of the football. You know, don't put the defense in a bad position. And defensively, we have to get the ball. You know, and football is one pretty much off turnovers. And who gets the most turnovers usually wins the game. Not really who was the best team. Who makes the most mistakes usually lose. And who calls the most mistakes usually wins. And I think with St. Thomas, you know, I know they're a great school, great. They got a great coaching staff, Hall of Fame, players on the coaching staff. But at the same time, I always tell my kids all the time, the man with the most passion, the man with the most desire, the man with the most want will win the game.
Yep.
And that's what this game is going to come down to.
Good stuff. Coach, again, thanks so much for taking the time. Best of luck this week. We'll see you in the playoffs.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Larry.
Anytime. Coach AJ Scott, what a great show. Don't forget, SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com is our website. We're on social media, Facebook, Twitter. Check us out. We put a lot of stuff out every day, Monday through Friday. A blog and a huddle, a recruiting huddle. You read that website, I will guarantee you'll be as smart as anybody. We have so much going on. Tito goes into it all the time and takes our stuff and puts it all out for us and doing a great stuff. SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com is our website. You can hit it by going to WQAM.com, where we'll be on with Joe Rose on Friday morning at 7:20 to kind of take a look at the last week. And then next week is playoff week number one, so that'll be as exciting as well. Then Saturday we have our pregame show. 3 o'clock, Alex Dono and I will be at the stadium, back at the stadium, back at the Rock, for the pregame show that begins at 3 o'clock. We're with you each week. Hopefully that you'll be with us. Tito Banas, thanks so much for what you did this evening. Jason Jenkins, thanks so much for stopping by. Riley Aguila from Hialeah, thanks so much as well. Charles Fishbein from Elite Scouting Services. And we wrap things up with AJ Scott from Miramar. We are gone. We'll see you next week. We'll be right back.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.